Shut up, shut up, shut up. If you want to see me lose control at times, come for Christmas service or Easter service. The birth and the death. That's the reason why we go to church. If he wasn't born, no church. If he didn't die, no church. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2 verse 1 all the way to verse 14. I'm aware that we have people joining us from all over the world. You're welcome. I'm so touched by people who travel from different countries to be here in a holiday period, just in the presence of God. It's so amazing. And I believe that people like this will never return back the same in the name of Jesus. Luke chapter 2 and in verse 1 to verse 14, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was to the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. And speaking very, very quickly on the subject, the birth of Christ, dash, God's love manifested. The birth of Christ, which is God's love manifested. By way of objective this morning, we shall be looking at understanding the love display by God in the birth of Christ. Understanding the love display by the Almighty God in the birth of His Son. And secondly, we would like to understand our response to that love. Our response. Understanding our response to that love. Before I go on, there are two things that are too important to note, and that is not contestable globally. First, that the Bible is about the oldest literature in the world, and has remained the number one bestseller of all times. How can something be that old and still be that relevant? Because truth cannot be outdated. It's about the oldest literature in the world and has remained the number one bestseller of all time. Number two thing that goes without saying is that the best birth of Christ is the most celebrated event in the earth. celebrated by people of all religions. You go to places like Dubai, you go to places like Singapore, at this kind of time you will be shocked at how the streets are and how the city. Some time ago we went to Singapore and it was in November and they had the streets decorated with Christmas decoration already in November. I said, what's going on? He said, they are preparing for Christmas. It's only a tiny percentage of Christianity right there. You have Buddhists, you have many other religions. Why is the birth of one man so relevant? Because it was not the birth of a man. It was the birth of a history. It's not just the birth of a man. It's an agenda of eternity. And I want to appreciate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for giving us the privilege of association with him. But this is where we are going. That the birth of Christ, and that maybe you can take that as number one, three now, that the birth of Christ is literally the greatest manifestation of the love of God for man. The greatest manifestation, an expression of the love of God for man. In John chapter 3 and in verse 16, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave him to be born and then gave him to die, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, why do we say that it is literally the highest manifestation of God's love? Let me give you a chain of events that even necessitated the birth of Christ. You can put that on the third point as A, if you wish. What was it that even necessitated the arrival of Christ? First, God made man in his image. Second, God made man in his image. He created man in his image. Secondly, man decided by the action of his will to transgress the law of God. Man decided by the action of his will in the Garden of Eden, when they received that forbidden fruit, by the action of his will, he was willing to transgress the law of God, to rebel against God. But the third point, the third point is most painful. Thirdly, man decided to align with the enemy of God against God. There was an alignment. Man decided to align with the enemy of God against God. It was more like Adam and Eve conspired with Satan the devil to say, we resist you, God. God knows that the day you ate the fruit, you'll be like him. Let us all join up and gang up against him. Man decided to align with the enemy of God against God. Fourthly, man received the consequences of his rebellion. He received the consequences of his rebellion after all of this. The consequences of his rebellion, which is frustration, destruction, and eternal damnation. Man received the consequences of his rebellion. Dash. Frustration. Destruction. And eternal damnation. That's a chain. But look at the twist in the story. The 15 after this, man has been judged. He received the consequences of his rebellion. And then the 15, God took the initiative to immediately proffer solution. What a love. God took the initiative to immediately proffer solution. And what was God's solution? While they were still in the mess, in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 15, God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. That is, there is a seed coming out of the woman. Satan, you have done your worst, but this woman shall bring forth a seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The woman will give birth to a seed, will bring forth a seed that will rescue these people. And God exemplified what he meant when in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 21, he killed an animal and skinned the animal. Maybe a lamb, maybe a ram, whatever. And he made coats of skins and clothed them. He already offered solution from the beginning. First, the seed of the woman will come. Second, he will become a sacrifice to cover the iniquity of man and woman. No wonder Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it said, in the fullness of time. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, that seed of the woman. He said, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons when the time was come. Somebody lift your right hand and say, thank you, Jesus. That thank you is not enough. Say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Lord. God offered a solution. And finally, God went ahead to implement the solution by sending his son. That is why there is Christmas. That is why we have anything to say. That's why we have anything to celebrate. He went ahead to implement the solution by sending his son to come and die, to be born. We just read at Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 4. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You are the one who offended me. You are the one who took my money and messed up with the money. And the mess you did put you in prison. And I came and spent money to pay your bail conditions and to pay the option of fine with my own money to bring you out of the prison. The judge sentenced you, and the judge went to pay the sentence. The wages of sin is death. And the one who said you should die, died for you. Am I communicating? This, anytime you remember the birth of Christ, the most dominant thing that must come up in your mind is the incomprehensible love of God. Anytime you remember, don't forget the incomprehensible, incomparable love of God. And let us look at that expression of love that Christmas, that Christ's birth came to show. What is the birth of Christ expressing? First, what is the birth of Christ? What love is the birth of Christ expressing? What is the birth of Christ expressing as far as the heart of God is concerned? What do we learn from the birth of Christ as far as the love of God is concerned? Number one, that God is eternally interested in the welfare of man. God is eternally interested in the welfare of man. God is eternally interested in the welfare of you. Not just man, you. Second, that we're in a separate subheading now. What the love of God expresses. That's right. That God is eternally interested in the welfare of man. Two, that God loves man with an everlasting love. A dieless love. A faithless love. He created man by love. Man messed up. And yet love was still there to offer solution. That God loves man with an everlasting love, a dieless love, a faithless love. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and in verse 3, God said it there. He said, the Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yeah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with my loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again, I will build thee and thou shalt be built up. Everlasting love means love that does not change its mind. Everlasting love means love that cannot fade. Everlasting love means love that cannot die. We have seen friends that lost love for each other. The friendship came to an end. We have even seen siblings where love expired. Natural human love and everything is gone. We have seen marriages and couples. On their wedding day, they were all around each other. Just a few months or a few years down the road, which is an abnormality, the love died. But God is saying, I have a love for you that is dieless. Meaning, if you go to hell, that was your choice. Meaning, you may change your mind about God, but God will not change his mind about you. Is that exciting to somebody? Lift up your right hand and say, Father, thank you. Say it loud and say, oh Lord, thank you for your dieless love for me. Thank you for your dieless love. And that love is going to clean somebody's system right now. It's going to heal you of every affliction. It's going to heal you of every reproach. Shout the Lord and say amen. Thirdly, the birth of Christ is showing us a lesson in love. And number three, that God gives his best to manifest his love for man. God gives his best. He will always give his best to manifest his love for man. God gives his best. It was not an angel he sent. He didn't give one of the sons because he had plenty of sons. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, only, just one. I like you to understand that God is not planning to give you the worst in life. I like you to understand that God does not know how to give anything less than the best. The Bible said he is excellent in working. That is love. You have seen people give you cloth or shoe or things that they are tired of. You have seen people express their love to you in ways that you are wondering, how is this? Not God. Some people give you something because they have an alternative. Not God. He gave his only begotten. Somebody say loud amen. Am I speaking to anybody here at all? I believe it's a new day for someone. And if you are the one, you say aloud, amen. God gives his best to manifest his love for man. Number four. God uses, this is still love. He uses the least likely to achieve the most lovely. He uses the least likely to achieve the most lovely, the most likable, the most desirable. Why do I say so? God wanted to save the world. And he didn't go to the palace of a monarch to find a child. He didn't go to the palace of a merchant to find a child. He went to the house of a carpenter. A village local carpenter. A carpenter whose wife and himself could not afford the ram for dedication. Yes, they used two pigeons. They used two pigeons for the dedication of the child. That is my God, who is eternally attracted to the lowly. Eternally attracted to the despised. Eternally attracted to the rejected. Because this is the stone the builders rejected that has become the head of the corners. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. He said, you know your calling, my brethren. This may be 1 Corinthians chapter 1, from verse 27, 28 to 9, thereabout. That not many mighty were called, not many noble, not many wise after the flesh. But God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. For you see your calling, brethren, 1 Corinthians 1:26. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things, the ones down. And the things that are despised has God chosen. He's calling people things. Because that's how people look at them. Yeah. The things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. So that nobody can beat his chest and say, it is my education that is the reason why I'm where I am. It is my wisdom. It is my rich background. That is love. Love drove him to the lowly. And if you think your life is down, if you think you don't have any advantages in life, if you think that you are forgotten and rejected and despised, and people think nothing good can come out of your life, I am here to announce to you that the birth of Christ is for you. It is for people like you that Christ came. So that he can visit you and reach your home and reach your family and change your destiny.
I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but after this season, people will look at you and they will be shocked at what God has done in your life and done with your life. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. Say the loudest, amen. Number five. What do we learn from God's expression of love through the birth of Christ? Fifth, God sets aside everything. God sets everything aside that stands in the way of his love plan. God sets everything aside. He sets aside everything that stands in the way of his love plan. If God loves you and he has planned for you, planned for me, planned for the church of Jesus, and planned for the nation and planned, he sets aside everything that stands in the way of his love plan. We read that in the Seed of Destiny just now. He suspends all rules, discards all protocols, surmounts all obstacles that are contrary to his purpose. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Somebody shout amen at the top of your voice. An angel came to announce the birth, and a woman got pregnant. The man didn't meet a woman, yet the woman got pregnant. Child is developing in the womb of a woman. That is contrary to biological protocol. That is contrary to embryological protocols. That is contrary to every law of obstetrics, gynecology, everything. Contrary. And he said, I am not planning to respect any law now, provided my love plan is at stake. Nobody can come to the king except he is invited. But I, Queen Esther, I am about to break that law. And if I perish, I perish. Because there is a higher law that protects and preserves the destiny of these people. I am going to respect that law. And she could not perish. Nobody should pray to another God. Otherwise you'll be thrown to the lion's den. I have broken that law already. No law has the right to be respected if it disrespects the law of God. Can I say that again? No law has the right to be respected that disrespects the law of God. I'm going to extend it to man. No human being, no matter how old or his title, has any right to be respected who disrespects God and his word. Daniel disrespected Nebuchadnezzar, who was his boss in the office, because he was making a law that was contrary to the superior laws of God. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. If there is a man, even if he is a man of God, no matter how respected he is, the day he loses respect for God and his word is the day you lose respect for him. The day he loses respect for God and his word, that is the day you lose respect for him. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say the loudest amen. And with that, I decree right now, any protocol standing in the way of God's plan for your life, any law, anywhere, any mahashako kobagadagala, any order in any realm that is fighting the plan of God for your life, today I declare them set aside. I declare them nullified. I declare them suspended. You believe that? Shout the Lord. Say amen. Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat. Look at your neighbor. Say, God will break the laws and suspend the protocol to fulfill his plan. You remember the woman in Luke chapter 13 that was doubly bent and she came to service on the Sabbath day. And Jesus healed her and said, woman, thou art loosed. And the Pharisee said, why should you heal person on Sabbath day? Because on Sabbath day, according to the law of the Jews, you're not even meant to carry your mat about. Remember in Israel, on Sabbath day, when we traveled to Israel on Sabbath day, if you remember, even the lift, they put it in such a way that you don't press it. Oh, it's automatically, so that you can just enter without, you're not meant to walk with your hand or anything like that. That was how that law was then. It was a bondage law. So, why did you come to be healed on a Sabbath day? Jesus said, somebody is suffering for 18 years and you want me to respect Sabbath law? I break it. That is, this is an Old Testament law that the Godhead, divinity made. Just, but I am there, I break it. Say, all of you, you have cow, you have goat and sheep. Don't you lead them out to water them on Sabbath day? And here is a daughter of Abraham that stayed and tied for 18 years. And you are telling me to respect Sabbath law and leave her bound. She said, woman, proceed. Hey! Proceed in your liberty. Proceed in your freedom. If the God who made the law of the Sabbath will break that law of the Sabbath, whether consciously or unconsciously, to set person free. I announce today, anything that is standing in the way of the plan of God for your life, every protocol, every law, I declare them broken right now. Say the loudest amen. Say the loudest amen. Lift your right hand and say in the name of Jesus, every law, up and protocol, standing against my life, be broken. Right now. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat. God will set aside. Now, I'm going to be rushing now because of time. Number six. God will go to any extent for the rescue and salvation of man. He will go to any length, any extent for the rescue and the salvation of man. This is the meaning of it. No price is too much to pay. And no length is too far to go for the rescue of man by God. No price is too much to pay. No length is too much to go. Too far to go for the rescue of man. God will go to any length. I'm sure you know the implication of God becoming man. God, the sinless God, becoming sinful man. The Creator moving among the created like the created. Do you understand what I'm talking about? When a multi-billionaire decided to become a city cab driver with everybody talking to him any way they want, it's not comparable. He went too far. El Shaddai, El Elyon, The one that created the morning stars that existed millenniums before the foundation of the earth. That God decided to come and march on our sandy earth. The God who walks on the streets of gold. Who created Lucifer with carbuncles and sapphire. Decided to come in the skin of flesh. He went too far. That is why we sing, all the way to Calvary he went for me. Jesus went for me. My Savior went for me. All the way to Calvary he went for me. He died to set me free. When they say, nail him, nail him, nail him, angels were standing and say, Oga, why are you allowing these people to do this? Pilate said, reply me. Don't you know I can deliver you? He said, calm down. You don't know. You don't really know who you are dealing with. I can summon 12 legions of angels now and bury this city alive. But I am on assignment. I have to go through this. I have to go through this to rescue man. Power is not my problem. He allowed a woman that he created to give birth to him. Mary was carrying Jesus, not knowing that it was actually Jesus that was carrying her. Somebody once carried a pregnancy that carried her. When I go to heaven, one of the things I want to find out from Mary is how she felt when she moved about with that tummy. Because heaven was all around. Angels were at every corner of the house. The host. Anywhere the president is, the presidential entourage must be. He is the Lord of hosts. He does not move without the host. Mary, how did you feel? When you went to the market, what were you feeling? How was your dream in the night? What were the kind of things you were seeing? He will go any... You see, that is why I say, because I have loved you, I will give men for you. I can bury person for you to fulfill your days. And today, I speak to someone. Any length that God will go to fulfill his purpose in your life, in this season, you will see him go that length. Any distance God needs to travel to fulfill his purpose in your life, in this season, you will see him travel that distance. You believe it, shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Oh Lord. This seventh point will excite you. That God places extraordinary contents in ordinary containers. He went for me. My Savior went for me. He went for me. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. He died to set me free. God places great contents in little packages. You know, the Bible says that God sits in heaven
and the earth is his footstool. You know the stool that you lay, you place your leg on. The whole globe is sizable enough to carry a portion of his leg. How big is that leg? And then the body that carries the leg. He says you are the apple of his eye. That black. That's you and me. All of us. So we are that black of the eye. What is the total size of the eye? Then the head that carries the eye. And then the body. That whole package entered into a 5 feet, 6 inches man, or even if it's 6 foot. How can? Mystery of godliness, divinity emptied into humanity. How is that? And he was moving. Oh. What is that in further mathematics, in advanced mathematics? What kind of contraction is that? The Mount Everest at about 35,000 feet above sea level suddenly emptied into a piece of dust. Beloved brothers and sisters, what this is saying to you is, most times, the container may not look it, but the content is unbelievable. Mystery. Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians, I think chapter 10, verse 10, they said, his letters are waiting. This man, what he says, what he writes, the weight of it, the power of it is unbelievable. But when you see him in person, you say, where is the person? Who wrote this thing? Who said this thing? His bodily presence is weak. His speech is contemptible. Paul took a man. God took a man like Paul. Paul is actually the Greek word. It means little. He was little bodily, but a principality in the realm of the spirit. You know why some people try to react when they see what God wants to do or do in your life? They didn't see you coming. At least if a big aeroplane was coming, you will hear the sound. But God is moving with you in some noiseless dimension. He puts you under radar. Because if their radar detected you on time, they would have killed you. He put Moses in the house of the magician, in the house of Pharaoh, with all the astrologers and magicians of Egypt. They couldn't detect him. That the one that will bury their nation was being raised with their resources. Look at your neighbor, they are not ready for what God is about to do in your life. Stand up on your feet and help me tell 3 people. They are not ready. They are nobody is ready for what God is about to do with your life. Go ahead. Look at your neighbor, say they can't see you coming. They can't see you coming. And God will cause you to manifest before they know who is coming. Give the Lord the praise. 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 On our way, from the crusade in Benue State yesterday. On a Saturday, on our way, we passed through one of the villages with an old preacher that I had known since 1979, 78 and 79. He's very old now, all hairs black. He was leading us in the fellowship in 1979, Christian Fellowship Center it was called then. So we came. God has helped us to build a little village church for him, for pastoring. Well, big, little big village church. And we branched through there. And then the wife saw me. I said, good morning, ma. I said, yes, ma. He said, how are you? Who are you? Is it Idoko or Odiba? I said, I'm Idoko. Then he talked to the people and said, when this boy was 11 years old, he can fast for 3 days dry. He can fast 3 days dry, no food. That's the hell. I still remember the old mama talking. See, that was since when we're coming subterraneally under radar. Unsuspecting, hidden. Nobody knew. All of a sudden there is an explosion. And there are many who are strangers to your history. Total strangers to your destiny and history. Who think they know where you are coming from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are people here today that God will suddenly manifest. And somebody will say, where has he been? Where is he coming from? Lift your voice and say, thank you, Jesus. Say it loud and say, thank you, Jesus. Say it loud and say, thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. God places extraordinary content. This child that is talking was a convulsive child. Seriously convulsive child. You never expected anything much. That was a child that could go anytime as little as childhood. Oh, you have the picture of that mother. That's the woman there. That's the husband. Right, standing. Yes, that's the man there. There's the woman who was asking me who I was. Incredible God. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, I receive your grace to be everything you want me to be. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be everything you want me to be. In Jesus' precious name. Number 8, and I'll soon be rounding off. God's love knows no impossibility. The things that are impossible with man are possible with love. Mary said in Luke chapter 1 verse 34 to 37. How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout the loud most amen. Nothing is impossible with love. I want you to know that the love of God that shall be expressed to you today shall know no impossibility. Number 9. In the love plan of God, anywhere is good enough as a starting point. Anywhere. You can start in the manger, but you are not designed to die in the manger. You can start in the manger and become the king of the universe. In the love plan of God, anywhere is good enough as a starting point. Where you are is good enough as a starting point. In Genesis chapter 13 and in verse 15, I believe God spoke to Abraham and he said, lift up your eyes. From verse 14, lift up your eyes. And he said unto Abraham, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are. From the place where you are, your life can turn in any direction. Depending on where you look in the love plan of God. Lord, why am I here? Start from there. Love will take you from there. And take you where your mind will not believe. Everywhere is good enough as a starting point. And finally, number 10. God's plan. Or let me qualify it. God's love plan may appear slow, but it is always sure. It may appear slow, but it is always sure. It may appear slow, but it is always sure. It may experience delay, but it can never experience defeat. And most things we call delay is not actually delay. Most things we call delay is actually waiting for God's time. The Bible said in Galatians 4:4, when the right time came, at the appointed time, the fullness of time came, God sent his son. Promise was made over 4,000 years before, but it appeared like it would not come to pass. Until the fullness of time. How many of you know that God does not check time using your clock? He has his clock. He has his time. Your watch is not his timer. But he makes all things beautiful in his own time. There is someone here today, even before this year ends, God will make something beautiful in your life to happen. Say amen like you believe that. Say amen like you're a believer. Even before this year is over, God will make something beautiful to happen in your life. Shout the loudest, amen. Lift your right hand and say, Father, thank you for your love. Say it louder, say, Father, thank you for your love. Louder, say, Father, thank you for your love. I am grateful for your love. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat. How do we respond to the love of God? Because we have spent so much time. How do I respond to the love of God? Number 1. Respond with wisdom. With wisdom. We will respond like the wise men. You know, the wise men that came from the east, where we came, where we read, from Luke chapter 2 verse 1 to verse 14. Respond with wisdom. What does that mean? First, recognize the supremacy of the Almighty over your life. Because the fool has said there is no God. Wisdom is recognizing the supremacy of the Almighty over our lives. Recognize the supremacy. Two. Or second. Decide to interrupt your life's schedule. To pursue what really matters in life.
When the wise men saw the star, they interrupted, they dropped everything to pursue.
Decide to interrupt your life's schedule to pursue what really matters in life. Once in a while, once in a long while, interrupt the schedule of your life. Take a leave to seek God. Take a break. To fast. Thirdly, decide to go all the way with God.
The wise men went all the way until they went to where the baby was. That is wisdom. Decide to go all the way with God. If he went all the way to Calvary for you,
you will go all the way with him. Give the time, give the attention, give the effort in your walk with God. Decide to go all the way with God.
Respond with wisdom. Recognize the supremacy of the Almighty. Decide to interrupt your life's shadow.
Decide to go all the way with God. Respond with wisdom. That was one. Number two, respond with worship.
When the wise men came,
they surrendered in worship. And what is responding with worship? First, surrender all pride, achievement, vainglory to the authority of the Almighty. Surrender all pride, achievement, vainglory, anything you are or you think you are.
These wise men were noble people from their country. They came all the way in the surrender of pride, surrender of their achievement,
surrender of their vainglory. Do you know what they did next? Elderly, matured people laid down for a baby, inside grass in a manger. Surrender all pride, all achievement, all vainglory to the authority of the Lord. Thirdly, or secondly rather, surrender to his direction. Influence and principles for living.
Surrender, that is worship. Part of our worship is to surrender to the direction of God, the influence of God, the principles of God for living.
That's our response to such a love. And thirdly, open your life's treasures to him. Let him access the treasures of your life. The Bible says they open their treasures. And gave gifts.
Myrrh, frankincense,
gold. Open your life's treasures.
Anything I have, Lord, is yours to use. My time, my energy, my resources, my finances.
Your life's treasures. When you are able to do that, then you will see God like never before.
And then you will see
the full dividends and benefits of that love. Lift up your right hand everywhere you are and go ahead and give him the praise. Worship him, honor him, adore him. Where he leads me, I will go. In the army, where he leads me, I will go. In the army, where he leads me, I will go. In the army, I'm a soldier. In the army of the Lord. Three prayers we're going to pray. And the first prayer is a prayer of appreciation. Hand lifted. Lord, I'm appreciative. Thank you for this quality of word on a Christmas day. Thank you for making me to hear you. Thank you for speaking to me. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Elohim. Thank you, Elohim. Thank you, Elohika. Thank you, Neshach Israel. Worship him. Honor him. Father, thank you for your word. 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 Thank you, Adonai. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus. And now lift your hands and say after me and say, Father,
Father,
I apply for the wisdom,
I apply for your wisdom
to respond to your Lord,
to recognize your authority
in my life.
I
apply for that wisdom
to recognize your
Lord, to respond to your Lord. I receive that wisdom now in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and speak to God. One more time and say after me and say, Father,
Father,
I receive the mantle of worship,
I receive the mantle of worship,
to hand over my life to you,
hand over my life
and to worship you,
and to worship
in a new dimension.
I receive that grace
and that mantle right now in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, open your mouth and speak to God. Thank you. precious, precious name. Put your hands and give him the praise.